Heard Andy Griffith passed away on Tuesday at age 86, and we've been featuring a lot of his music this morning. Next up for our live music segment is Guy Russo and Morgan Arena together. They're called Broken Fences. They had a sold out CD release show for their most recent CD. We'll talk a little bit about that. They also have had the fortune of licensing some of their music for use on television, which is pretty cool. We'll learn about that, and also learn, as we try to do each week throughout the program, but especially during this hour, learn about the jewels within our midst here, right within our community. So without any delay, let's see, is it This Is or is it These Are? These Are the Beatles. No, This Is the Beatles. So it's This Is Broken Fences.
I want question or prayer. Let me reach this world without a reason.
That's Broken Fences, and a nice song. What's the name of that?
It's called Reach.
And I was poking through your website a little bit, and Guy, I didn't realize you grew up in Forest Hills. I grew up in Churchill.
Oh, wow.
Did you go to Woodland Hills?
I lived in the school district, and pretty much all my friends were Woodland Hills kids. But my dad taught at a Swickley Academy, so my sister and I were able to go to that school.
What street did you grow up on?
Avenue A.
I remember Avenue A. Now, depending on where you were on Avenue A when I was growing up, you had to look at this huge American flag on Ardmore Boulevard that a car dealer used to fly.
I don't think there was... We were at a different part.
Okay, yeah, I'm just I'm sort of thinking back to my days in the neighborhood. Do you still live out that way, or are you closer to the city now? Or?
Actually, I've been living in Squirrel Hill and Shadyside for the past, like, 5 or 6 years, but we just recently, Morgan and I just moved back to Forest Hills.
Oh.
So we're living on Newport Road now.
Yeah, it's a nice, Forest Hills is a nice suburb because you're really pretty close to the East End, and it's lots of nice trees and sidewalks in many neighborhoods, if not all of them. And Morgan, is it Irina? I wanted to be sure I got your name right. And you're from the Bronx.
Well, I mainly grew up in Manhattan.
Okay.
I went to every single grade there.
You went to these like PS 10-whatevers?
Yeah, that, PSA 7 elementary and then onward.
That's hard for us to understand. When did you leave New York City? Or was it maybe you haven't? I guess one never really leaves, right?
But yeah, that's true. I mean, I definitely still call it my home. But I moved here about 4 years ago now,
I think. What brought you here?
Just a change. I was 22 and needed a change, and I knew some people in Pittsburgh, so I took a chance.
How did you, I'm curious, partly because I'm a native and partly because I'm thrilled when people pick Pittsburgh. Do you remember what your expectations were, or like based on what your friends told you?
I mean, I had been to Pittsburgh a few times, and I had toured through Pittsburgh and played in Pittsburgh before I moved here, and I just remember that it is part city, but it's also part, like, I don't know what you would call it, relaxing.
Yeah.
And New York City doesn't really have many relaxing parts in it. So I still wanted a city, though. So.
Yeah, it's a real, and you know, our population when I was growing up was probably double what it is now.
Oh, really?
You know, Pittsburgh at one time was, gosh, within the top 10, you know, cities in the country. But even then, it still had this sort of town or villagey kind of feel. And now even more so, yet we've been fortunate to retain these great assets like the symphony and professional sports and all these other things. And also it's an inexpensive place to live and population actually is on the uptick again. So how did you two meet to play as a duo? Oh, they both looked at each other simultaneously as if to say, let's not perjure each other. You can tell any version of the story you want, but I'm just curious how you found each other.
Well, there's an open mic that I'm sure you've heard of in Pittsburgh called Acoustic Cafe on Mondays at Club Cafe on the South Side. And we really owe it all to that and our mutual friend Nathan Zub, who comes up in every interview.
Nathan Zub is a good guitarist.
Yeah, he is.
It's funny. He comes up in every interview you give, and he comes up in a number of interviews.
He's got his finger in many pies.
Yes, he does. I've actually never seen him play, but people who I respect have just raved about him.
He plays in the bands of two of our favorite artists, Clinton Clegg and the Backstabbing Good People, and also Mark Dignam. Nathan, we call him Zub, and I had we were best friends in college. We met at the freshman talent show, like at orientation, and we just sort of really hit it off from that point on. And, you know, 4 years go by and we're best friends. And we started going to this open mic on Mondays, and I had some other stuff going on. I wasn't able to go for a few months, but Zub had been going right around the time Morgan arrived in Pittsburgh. And Morgan and Zub sort of became pretty good friends, and I had
he's
heard
from
Morgan
New York
play.
City as well. So
yeah,
he's, I think that helped.
So they had that in common. And I had heard Morgan play before, like one time, and I just remembered being completely blown away, but I didn't know her name or anything. Well, one day I'm rehearsing with Zub for a show we were going to play together, just a side project, and Morgan just showed up randomly. And I was like, oh, I remember you. You played at Acoustic Cafe. And we played the show, and afterwards we went out for drinks and some food, and Morgan and I happened to be sitting next to each other at the table, and we just sort of really hit it off and connected, and we said, hey, why don't we get together sometime and learn some songs, learn some, you know, harmonies. And we I think like 2 days later we got together and we learned a Beatles song and a James Taylor song. Those were the first to start out with covers, like a lot of people do, I'm sure. And it was just like instant chemistry with making music together.
Well, and that's one reason I asked you that question. That wasn't really a throwaway question, but you do sing and play incredibly well together, and that's not easy to do. I can tell you're giving each other space, and you're also both when you as you play and as you sing, and it's remarkable. And it sort of either happens or it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But you sound great. Let's listen. I want to talk to you about so many things, but what song would you like to do next?
How about we do Fairy Tale?
Fairy Tale. Yes. So once again, this is the group known, a group, a duo known as Broken Fences.
Mazingon wrote my fairy tale. Ask me why I'm going crazy. Well, I'll tell you.
Broken Fences. Morgan, where did you learn to sing? How did you learn to sing?
From the radio. I don't know. I think I can speak for both of us on this part, where we both learned to harmonize by harmonizing with songs on the radio.
Sure.
And bands that we loved. And I was really into the Cranberries growing up, and Sinead O'Connor, and Janis Joplin, and all those other people. So I guess I just took tips.
Yeah, your blue. I mean, your the bluesy style that mm-hmm. your lead in that song had was really something as I was listening to it, and it sounds. It pretty deep, that I guess is pretty deeply rooted. I was mm-hmm. curious. It sounds like you sang when you were really a little girl, probably.
Oh, yeah, I think I've been singing forever.
this whole idea, well, first of all, congratulations on your release.
Thank you.
And, a sold-out release show. When you're playing out, are you playing pretty much just like this, acoustically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I like you. No, it takes a lot of courage to play a place like Club Cafe, just like you are right
yeah.
now. A lot of folks will sort of, and it's fine if you do, but a lot of folks will add more pieces
yeah.
and get it a little bit more electric. What do you like about playing in this configuration?
Control. We're control freaks. It is.
It's also
really
very
nice.
Personable.
That's a great answer, God.
Yeah.
I know a lot of out of control freaks myself, but no, it with two of you can control it more, and
yeah, we know exactly. I mean, we have this sort of telepathy when we play together. We sort of like we know what the other person's gonna do and how we work together, and it's sort of with when there's two people playing together. It's uncomplicated, and I think we're able to let the music be the most important thing rather than trying to make coordinating be the most important thing.
Yeah, I'm not a musician, but I do work in a lot of teams, and I also know a lot of musicians, and it can be really rough, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a group or even mm-hmm. playing as a duo and you're not on the same page or communicating.
Right, yeah.
Not only, even if you've got the same priorities and the mm-hmm. same idea of what it should sound like, if you're not able, if you miss each other's cues,
mm-hmm.
it can be really difficult. And it shows that you guys don't. Who's doing the writing?
Both of us.
Okay, so you both were jointly responsible for the two songs.
For example, like he wrote Reach solely, and I wrote mm-hmm. Fairy Tale solely.
Yeah.
So
what we usually do is we sort of have like a solo version of a song with some wiggle room, and then we bring it to the band, and then we work together on creating a harmony part or more guitar parts or to make it a band song. But we do mostly write the sort of skeleton of the song independently.
Well, I often wonder about writing jointly. I mean, it is possible you could do it, but if you're talking about control mm-hmm. and wanting to have, singularity and focus of what it is you're trying to convey, that makes a lot of sense to me if that's something you desire, because it would be pretty hard to write together. Advertising copy, maybe yes, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Poetry or song lyrics. I want to talk about the TV licensing stuff, but let's have you play another song
okay.
first. What would you like to do?
What do you
want to
do?
What?
Why? Okay.
This one. Why did
yeah,
I
go? Why?
Once again, the group is called Broken Fences.
Dead morning, it's an anxious day. I'm a fair lover in every way.
Why, all I wanna do is sleep. You and the quiet fight. It's a lonely sight to see you standing there.
Why all I wanna do is live. You had the same eyes as me. You had the same eyes as me. But no more it seems. Begin again to find the one who gets your every thought. Why all I wanna do is sleep. You have the same.
Broken Fences at the Saturday Light Brigade. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on public radio. You can visit their website and learn more about the group. You know, we link to it from our website, and I just had it up. And rather than poking around, I'm just going to ask you for the, is it Broken Fences?
Broken Fences Band.
.com. Mm-hmm. Okay. I had it up and I was looking at it. Tell now this whole idea, I'm sure you get asked this a lot, but licensing music to TV, pretty cool. Yeah. How did that happen?
It's definitely a world in and of itself that we're...
Yeah, I'll bet.
We're sort of at the ground floor right now learning the ropes, but what happened with our first single... It's called Wait, and it was used on a TV show called Flashpoint, and it's a show that's really popular in Canada and on TV here, but not so popular. But after we released the song, a friend of ours, Brad Yoder, I'm sure you've heard the name.
Sure.
He sent it to a friend of his or a contact of his at a production company, and... that person asked us to submit it officially to her, and she shopped it to some music supervisors, and one of them in Canada, picked it up, and it was pretty cool.
That's absolutely great. Did it lead to record sales in Canada? Do you know?
Yeah. It led to a lot of like iTunes sales and YouTube views and stuff. Unfortunately, at the time, all we had was a single, and it was just digital. We didn't have our album yet. Hopefully we'll be getting more placements, and we just didn't have much to sell at the time because it was our first song.
Well, Brad's a good friend of ours too, and that sounds very typical for him to help another person in that way. Interesting, because you may or may not know. Media in Canada is subject to Canadian content laws that require a certain percentage of Indigenous music, which in a way is awesome, because what it does is continues to cultivate independent artists in Canada and getting them into the ears of people, which probably wouldn't be happening with the influence of the country to its south. But it could hinder some of your being featured on the radio as much. It depends. But that's really neat. There's a guy named Barry Polisar who is a quote-unquote friend. I mean, he and I have corresponded a lot, and I can't remember the movie, but this guy has written songs for years. Do you know the name? And one of his songs was picked up in a blockbuster movie, like after 30 years of writing songs, and they found it. You know, they plucked it out. He wasn't chopping it or anything, and it's like he instantly went the folk singer's equivalent of rags to riches, you know, which might be from whatever's below rags to whatever's from nothing to rags.
To a new Honda Civic.
Yeah. It's bugging me that I'll come up with the name of the movie. It's a great movie, and it's one I know you've heard of, and I just can't think of it. But it's got to be really cool for you to watch Flashpoint, and it's like, This is our song.
It was surreal.
It was weird. We decided to watch the episode, and at first speaking for myself, I got really into it.
It was funny, because at first we were sort of poking fun at it, because it's very melodramatic.
It's one of those, like dramatic shows with the cops and all that, but you can't help but get sucked into it, and you're like, oh my god, I can't believe that she
said that. How could she do that to him?
And then, like, when our song started playing, wait a minute, I totally forgot.
We were like in their world because we had watched the episode from the beginning, and our song was at a montage at the very end
when someone was dying.
Were you startled when it came out? It was like,
yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
We were like, why are we in this world? We're just watching a TV
show.
Yeah,
we were like, whoa, I almost forgot.
Oh god.
Strange.
I hope you do more of that. I mean, because it's a nice way to continue the art and Broken Fences, the name of the group. Are you playing anywhere soon?
We're playing tonight.
Yeah. We have actually a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that after your next song. What shall you play next?
Song for you?
We're going to play a song for you.
A song for me? Or, well, for you, too. Broken Fences consists of Guy Russo and also Morgan Arena, and here they are again.
Voices capture long road ahead, not looking for a meaning, breathe in my lover's bed. Well, I don't want to scare you, but I'm feeling your soul. If love's breath scares you, oh, tell me I should go. Strings strung, whispers of past undone. How is it that you got me so completely when I had this wall built around me? I don't want to scare you, but I'm feeling your soul. If love's breath scares you, oh, tell me I should go. Always your voice.
this music love.
Broken Fences at the Saturday Light Brigade. I forget, Juno is the movie I was thinking of. All I Want Is You is the song Barry Pollisar wrote. Cool. And he wrote songs, and still does write songs, for kids for years, and they plucked that song out, and it's like it's just amazing, because that was a really major, you know, mass market successful movie. So you guys are playing, and I'm really happy to see this, in the Woody Guthrie Showcase tonight, which is at Thunderbird Cafe at 9:30, and then tomorrow at Howlers. And then Tuesday, Garfield Artworks, and then Friday, you sure do have a busy week at the gallery crawl. I'm curious about the Woody Guthrie Showcase. Are you doing one of his, or what song did you pick?
Are we allowed to reveal it?
Yeah, you don't have to. If you tell me the first line,
I'll... It's Deportees, Plane Wreck at Los Gatos. It's a song that really I remember hearing in high school for the first time, and it really grabbed me a lot. And as soon as we were approached about this, I was like, that's the one I want to do. So we learned it, and we're pretty excited about our version of it.
Who's the organizer for that? Do you know offhand? Is there a person behind it? I should know.
I should know, too.
Brian McQuaid.
Oh.
Okay, because I'm really happy to know that's being done. You know, it's the 100th anniversary of Woody's birth.
Yeah.
And I was mentioning, you guys may find this interesting, I mentioned this morning early, I didn't feel like doing much last Saturday afternoon. I was kind of just vegging out when I got home. And I stumbled on this BBC documentary of folk music in America. And it had a lot of Woody Guthrie clips in it that I hadn't seen before. And it's on YouTube as 12 10-minute segments that were uploaded by some, bootleg in Britain, you know, that put them up. But it's really cool because, I've seen lots of stuff like that, but here's a case where, you know, there's a UK perspective on...
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, it was really neat to see, especially when they got into, the Red Scare and Haight-Ashbury and also Greenwich Village. It was very...
Just check that out.
Yeah, it was really neat. Don't blame me if you find yourself sitting at a computer or TV for 2 hours after doing it. Have you thought... it looks like you're touring soon.
In August.
And how's life? Do you like touring?
I love touring.
We have done pretty little of it. Morgan's done a lot in the past. What touring we've done right after the week after our release, we played in Philadelphia and Lancaster, just basically a two-night tour. And it was pretty cool to, like, finish a show in one city and then go on to the next. And by the time we were driving back to Pittsburgh, we were just saying, I just want to keep going. Like, I'm not ready to go home at all.
Yeah, once you get into the zone like that, it's got to be tough. You just do.
You just keep wanting to experience. I love going to new places and like eating new food and like just experiencing buildings that are weird and
good audiobooks in the car.
This yeah. from the New York girl. My goodness.
Know.
I mean, you've seen it all.
Yeah. I haven't been out of America yet, so that's my next.
There's a really powerful appeal to just the idea of going on adventures together.
Yeah.
I think we really love that.
Mm-hmm. That's great to be able to do that. I can't believe how fast this has gone. We're going to have time for one more song.
Okay.
Is there a new CD in the works, I hope?
Well, there's the songs.
We have like a million songs.
But okay.
For now, we're just doing touring, and then we'll get there.
And
we're just saving up.
Yeah, saving up money.
How long have you played as a duo now? I don't mean 45 minutes. I mean
less
forever.
Than 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Best wishes for continued success. I'd like to have you here again.
We'd love to come back.
So we can do some more. Look for them tonight at Thunderbird for the Woody Guthrie tribute. And we're going to have one more song. They've negotiated it. And I'm going to thank you for playing. Also, thanks to Andy Collier for a great mix. Thanks to the South Park Children's Theater Company for doing an excerpt from Blame It on the Wolf, and to our cello players from Gemini Theater, and to Steve Bodner and Heidi Jacobs and Dina representing Nate Stock, which is this coming Friday. We'll close up the Saturday Light Brigade with another song from Broken Fences. Thank you.
shelter. I saw you so clearly, and I see you now. You have to allow for something.
Broken Fences, and thank you for being here today.